Hello, friends. Shannon Joy here for Kinecta Mobile. In a world where every message could be watched and every move tracked, your privacy is not just a preference, it's a necessity. Introducing the ultimate guardian of your digital life, Kinecta Mobile. With Kinecta, experience the safety of military-grade encrypted messages, where your conversations are yours and yours alone. No data tracking, no eyes on your information, just pure unbreachable privacy. For total phone security and privacy, check out our new sponsors over at Kinecta. Visit www.phone123.com/joy or call them today at 941-246-2156. Guys, this is military grade technology in the palm of your hands, because privacy isn't a feature, it's your right. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy and take back control with Kinecta Mobile. Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. So good to be with all of you tonight. It is Friday. Thank you, Jesus. And in the Joy Virtual Studio, we have a very special guest. Her name is Gabrielle Bauer, and she has recently written the book. It's quite a blockbuster. Blindsight is 2020. This book is being released by Brownstone Institute. It is a publication of Brownstone, so that collaboration is very cool. I know that Jeffrey Tucker has been raving about this book, and it's a different type of book. It is not an academic review of what happened in 2020, 21, or 22. It's not really a political review. It doesn't come to the discussion with an agenda to prove something necessarily. It is more of a review from a cultural perspective of what happened to us, the personal stories, what happened to us, why we all went so mad in 2020 and beyond. And Gabrielle chronicles the experiences of 46 dissidents, thinkers, scientists, writers, journalists, psychologists, who were at that time with, you know, their stories and how they dealt with the shock of the closures and the lockdowns and their personal relationships, how they suffered. Very interesting cultural look. I sometimes, Gabrielle, think of myself as a cultural anthropologist, so to speak. I've been doing this for 10 years, and It is astounding to consider the magnitude of what we did to ourselves in countries across the globe, in the same way, a shared experience internationally to this very bizarre situation. And so I think we're going to have a great conversation tonight. Welcome to the Joy Virtual Studio.
Oh, pleasure being here.
Yes, yes. So before we get to the content of the book and in a review and a peek at some of the stories, can we talk about you first? I'd like to hear, you're a new guest to the Shannon Joy Show, and I'd like to hear the origin story of people who were dissidents. I find that collection of individuals to be very important and very interesting, because the amount of loss was so profound, yet these people stood up. Even though they lost friends and family and relationships and treasure. And that's one of the reasons I think this book is really interesting. But you're from Canada. You were shocked in the same way we were. Can you tell your story?
Sure, I'll tell you a bit about that. I was actually in Brazil visiting friends when the whole thing started. And that was a whole story in itself, getting back to Canada. I made it. But... Okay, I was 63 years old when this started. I'm 66 now. So you would think that I'd be of an age, you know, I'm not a grandma yet, but I could be. You'd think I'd be of an age where I'd want the protection and I'd, you know, be happy that people are staying home. No, none of that. Yeah. From the start, and I mean literally from the hour that the lockdowns were announced, there was something in me that just recoiled against the whole thing. It was just, no. Yeah. And then this culture that developed around it, stay home, save lives, you know, snitching, shaming.
Yeah.
The shaming online was just off the charts.
Yeah.
And none of it sat well with me. And it was completely, it was so strong and visceral, but I had to find out why. You know, and at the beginning, I doubted myself. I thought, what's wrong with me? Why are my friends and associates and colleagues, why is everyone on board with this?
Right.
Why does everyone think it's necessary? And I have to say, I was never afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I was in denial. I never thought, oh, there's no virus or anything like that. I was just not afraid. I looked at the stats, Diamond Princess and so forth. You know, I even like put my
where were you getting where are you getting your information at that point? What was your source of information?
Well, I think just like everyone else, various online sources and you know, print sources, radio sources. But it just yes, there's a risk, but I thought this is manageable. We don't the world doesn't have to go crazy. And I was so deeply affected by this, and I felt that I needed a tribe. You know, my husband, bless his heart, you know, he's very tolerant. He never shamed me for any of my views, but he didn't really share them.
Right. Me too.
He was much more cautious. You know, when I came back from Brazil, I'll never forget, he faced me with his hand outstretched, 6 feet, like this.
Unbelievable. So, unbelievable. I can relate. I can relate. Yep.
I mean, he's really mellowed since then. But at the time, he was really scared. And I think most of the world was. And for whatever reason, I wasn't. I get into the psychology a bit in the book. But so I really felt I needed to find my tribe. And I joined this Reddit group called Lockdown Skepticism that eventually grew to over 55,000 people.
Wow.
I became a moderator. I joke that I'm the oldest moderator on Reddit. it's like a lot of my co-moderators are 20s, 30s.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, that was a big community. And it really gave me, you know, this much needed support. And then it's a global community, but some of the people, once in a while, I'd see people from Toronto there. And so I started inviting them to form a Toronto group. And we call ourselves QLIT, Questioning Lockdowns in Toronto.
Okay.
And so the group grew to over 100 people. We had a WhatsApp chat that never slept. We started having personal, you know, live meetups and in bars and parks and all that.
So important.
Yeah. And then, you know, one thing led to another. I started to meet some of the big players like Jay Bhattacharya, you know, Martin Kaldor, Vinay Prasad, et cetera. I met them via this Reddit group in Zoom question and answers. I met some of them in person. And started taking notes and keeping links. I had no idea I would write a book about this, but I was so passionate and so distraught about what was happening.
Yes. And Gabrielle, you are a writer by trade. So you are a journalist by trade, and you're collecting all of this information, and you're shell-shocked the way, and your story is so similar to my story and to everyone's story. I think it is finding these like-minded individuals online, realizing you're not crazy, you're not alone, which is a very important moment, right? And then taking that, those international connections and using those, but also simultaneously making local connections, face-to-face meetings and getting out. And you talk about in your book your personal experience with the Canadian truckers revolt, which was ground shaking. It was really the very first organized, impactful resistance and revolt against the lockdowns coming from Canada, of all places.
Exactly.
Right? Everyone thinks that the Americans are the wily ones and we're the rebellious ones. And it was Canada, and it was a very well organized revolt and generated international headlines, sparked revolts across the globe that are continuing to this day. We report on the farmers in the Netherlands. We report on the rolling protests, hundreds of thousands across Europe. Much of this began with Canadians. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that? Because you touch on that in your book.
Yes, I have a chapter devoted to that in the book. It's a delicious irony, I think, that it started in Canada, because we Canadians are supposed to be, you know, obedient and respecting government and so forth. And, you know, perhaps it's because, in a way, Canadians, they were pushed to their limit. You know, the Trudeau government was very authoritarian, and Trudeau became kind of a...
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Shannon Joy here for PCM and Associates. Financial independence is your foundation to pursue a life of freedom. Smart investing helps you generate your own income, reduce taxes, and allows you to make your own decisions about how to spend your time. Most importantly, it builds your legacy so you can support your family and the institutions you care about. Proper asset allocation is the way to start, and Dom Pilano of PCM and Associates has guided his clients to this goal for decades. Call him today at 271-8540. That's 271-8540. One of the worst.
Sense of compassion and everything. It was just, you do as I want, you know, no matter what you talked about in that period, like in mid-2021, he would just answer, we got to get all Canadians vaccinated.
Right.
How are the Toronto Maple Leafs doing? We got to get all Canadians vaccinated. I mean, right, it was just like an automaton. And I say that as someone who, personally, I'm vaccinated. It wasn't a huge issue for me, but I came to be very against the mandates.
Oh, sure.
But so it was very interesting that it started in Canada. And one of the people that I feature in that chapter, who also interviewed me in a podcast, her name is Rupa Subramania. She's a well-known writer who actually went out to interview the truckers. She lives in Ottawa, and she interviewed the protesters, as opposed to all the, you know, most of the left-leaning news media were just aghast, you know, this is horrible. How could they be doing this? She actually talked to them, and she reported, you know, in the Free Press, in the National Post, she reported on what they were actually saying, and she humanized it. And, you know, I supported them from the beginning.
Sure.
And none of my friends could understand it. They all said, how can you do that? I mean, they all went with this narrative. Oh, you know, they're Nazis and this and that. And they said, how can you, as a child of Holocaust survivors, how could you possibly support this? And, well, for one thing, I read everything that Rupa Subramania had to say. Also, my son went to the protest.
Oh, interesting.
He lives in Montreal, and he and some friends, because he feels very much the way I do, he went to the Ottawa protests that were at the end of the convoy. And so he told me, I was able to interview him more or less and get firsthand reports.
Yes.
And so he told me that, you know, no, it was absolutely not a racist, whatever-ist event. Of course, you're going to get in a huge event. You're going to get some crazies waving crazy flags. But
of course,
it was not that at all. He said there was an atmosphere of jubilation, and people just wanted freedom from this, you know, regime that Trudeau had imposed.
The suppression. Yeah.
Exactly. And he said it was very celebratory. I mean, it was biting cold in January, but, you know, everyone was celebrating and giving each other food and, you know, singing and dancing. And so I got the firsthand reports, and I trusted him, you know.
Yes.
I trusted him to tell me the truth.
Gabrielle, it seems as if you came from maybe a left-leaning or a liberal-leaning perspective prior to the lockdowns. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say it is. And I think many of the people that I've met through this whole debacle, including a lot of my lockdown Brownstone colleagues, also come from a left-leaning perspective, and then they became disillusioned.
Absolutely.
So I think that's sort of where I come. And I also realized in the past 3 years that there were certain aspects of the, you know, the progressive agenda that I profoundly disagree with.
Yes. Yeah. That maybe had been kind of, you know, shoved to the side, or they're never platformed in the forefront, right? Because the true agenda items are hidden away and wrapped up in a very, very lovely package that everyone can agree with. I can tell you, as an individual coming from likely the right-leaning perspective, I was also disillusioned with the Republican Party in the United States of America, particularly the president, Donald Trump, who initiated the lockdown, initiated Operation Warp Speed, and handed his country over to a fascist dictatorship, right? And so just handed the country on a silver platter to Anthony Fauci. So I think that this is creating this very interesting collaboration of right-leaning thinkers and left-leaning thinkers who are finding each other and finding that they have much more common ground than they ever thought they did in previous years, which I think is pretty exciting. Tonight, we're talking to Gabrielle Bauer. She is the author of Blind Sight is 2020. This is published by Brownstone Institute. And as I mentioned before, Jeffrey Tucker is raving about this book. It is not your typical COVID book. It isn't looking at the politics or the science, which most of the books are. They're very, very sciencey, and they're very intent on proving that the vaccines are deadly, lockdowns were harmful, masking never worked, and that's all good. Those are all very important. This is a cultural exploration of what we did to each other, why we did it, and you know, those interpersonal relationships that really suffered. And she looks at extraordinary thinkers, people who were dissidents. And when we come back, that's what I really want to get into. I want to look at these people, Gabrielle, what they lost, what some of their more extraordinary experiences were as they moved through the process of coming to like an understanding about how terrible the lockdowns were and what their personal characteristics are. I'm very interested in that person, the one who was basically willing to lose everything in exchange for standing up for something that they just knew at a core value, going against everyone. I just find that group to be extraordinary. You have a very interesting perspective because you talk to so many people. When we come back, I'd like to explore that with you right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Before we go, a quick shout out to Gold Co., amazing sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show. We love them. We know that the economic turmoil is nowhere near over, and this is making many Americans concerned about their savings, their retirement, the diligent hard work of putting away every single month so that you can have a retirement. This is now in jeopardy as the government and the bankers manipulate the dollar. They manipulate our currency and also our investments. This is why so many people are switching to gold-backed investments, gold and silver, and that's what Gold Co. does. They have been doing it forever. They specialize in this, and they have thousands upon thousands of five-star reviews on Better Business Bureau and Google. So go to goldco.com/ShannonJoy. That's goldco.com/ShannonJoy and find out if you qualify for free silver because they're giving away a ton of it. That's goldco.com/ShannonJoy. We'll be back in a minute right here in the show. Welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. We are joined tonight by Gabrielle Bauer. You can find her on Twitter. Her handle is at Gabrielle J. Bauer. That's Gabrielle J. Bauer on Twitter. You can also go to her website, www.gabriellebauer.com. The book Blind Sight is 2020, published by Brownstone Institute and available everywhere, but the biggest platform is Amazon. You can go and buy that today. This is a book that you might want to give to the neighbor or the friend or the family member that's kind of on the fence, right? Because it's not an in-your-face, like, the lockdowns were terrible, which we know they were, okay? We know what time it is, right? But there are so many people in the process of waking up right now. I see it every day, Gabrielle, people who were lockdowners, maskers, vaxxers. They're one vaccine injury away from being completely red-pilled. Right? Mm-hmm. Because it is so brazen and blatant what they're doing to us. And the people who seek to hold us captive are not backing off, right? We're about to move into an election season here in the United States of America, where the main political candidates are pretending it never happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys know my mission on this show. And that is, yeah, we're going to cover the presidential politics a little bit, but we are not going to forget. That's my mission over the next 12 months is to remember what happened in 2020 so that we can finally get mainstream media, right-wing media, Republican politicians, Democrat politicians to finally acknowledge what they've done to us. And that's still in process. We haven't achieved that yet. And that's why this book is important, because this is the book that can be that bridge to those people that you might have lost relationship with. It's a very important book, Gabrielle. Blind Sight is 2020. And you chronicle 46 scientists, doctors, thinkers, journalists internationally. You had conversations with these people. You heard their stories. And you looked at what it cost for them to stand up and the process of them waking up. Can you tell the audience as we begin this discussion, who stood out to you the most among some of these stories?
Okay, well, it's a hard question to answer because they all stood out, but I will try. I wanted to just also, first of all, address one of the things that you said, which I think is very important, mm-hmm. that we need to find a way to talk to the other side. And I know that some of the writings that I've read about the pandemic, books, articles, and so forth, they don't attempt to make that bridge. And so you kind of feel like you're preaching to the choir.
Yes. So we're in an echo chamber. We've got to get out of our echo chamber.
Exactly.
And outreach. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I try to do. It's not that I'm wishy-washy. I definitely, you know, state the points that I want to via all these dissident thinkers. But I've tried to speak in a language that the other side can understand. And yes, you know, to keep it kind of reasonable. And but it's hard to do. I have to say it is hard to do. It's because I think a lot of left-leaning outlets, they just immediately, you know, they don't want to hear the other side. So it is hard. It's harder to make inroads in that side. But so as far as who stood out?
Or some of the better, some of the stories, some of the highlighted stories that were extraordinary that you featured in the book.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of the personal stories, a lot of them are mine, but the people that I featured, they really talk about why this whole thing made no sense. And they talked on the philosophical level, on the ethical level, even on the spiritual level. For instance, I featured one priest, and he talked about how everything spiritual was just completely cast aside. It was non-essential.
Wrong. Right.
And it's interesting because I'm not personally a religious person, but COVID really helped me understand the religious perspective. I also talk about the Hasidic Jews in Israel and New York who rebelled against that.
Yes.
And there's also the Amish who just wanted nothing to do with it. And it really, really helped me understand, just being in the pandemic, that there is this whole other perspective on life. And you know, who are these politicians to say this is essential? You know, shopping at Walmart in the aisles is essential, and religious services are inessential. You know, for some people, they're the lifeblood. It's what makes the world go round.
Right.
So, so it was very interesting to delve into that and to talk to. To religious people.
Sure. Did you get any sense as to why they were willing to dissent publicly and lose so much? As you spoke to these people, was there a common theme or a common characteristics or set of characteristics that linked these people together? Or was it just different for all of them?
Yeah, I think it was different because some of the people stood a lot to lose in terms of career. They were, you know, starting out their careers or at the height of their careers. Other people had less to lose. Maybe they were retired or whatever. I think people just felt very strongly about it, you know, and including myself, I think I had less to lose in some, so I certainly am not casting myself as superior. Mm. I knew that I faced a professional risk, even though I'm 66, I very much work full time. I have many clients, I'm extremely busy. And I knew that writing about COVID, I've also written about 30, 32 essays, writing about COVID and then writing this book could jeopardize my career. But I figured, you know, if there's any time in life to act with integrity, it's now.
Yes.
And I had less to lose because my kids are grown and I don't have small kids depending on me.
Sure.
So to me, it definitely seemed worth taking the risk. But I understand that some people would not want to, not be willing to. I completely understand. Don't look down on people for that. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people on our team, so to speak, just felt so passionately about it, felt so passionately that something vital about the experience of living and being human was being swept aside in this response.
Well, I would say there was a sense of alarm for me, great alarm, that this is very, 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 very evil, bad, wicked. The covering of faces, the dehumanizing of individuals, the callous nature that our officials took in locking us down and destroying our lives, the disregard for a human body, an individual's autonomy, and just seizing that body. It seemed to me everything in my nature, everything in my being just raged against it, everything.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And I was so alarmed that, and I remember this because I was like you, I was an immediate, the second I saw the propaganda, The second they locked us down, it was immediate. This is wrong in every single way. Never wore a mask in New York State for the most part. Coupled with that was this sense that this will only get worse. Our lives are on the line. The lives of my children are on, they will kill my children. This is the way that I sensed that it was so evil and so wrong that we let them get away with any of it. It was only going to devolve. And I believe that today, the reason that we have the freedoms that we have today, I don't think we were meant to have these freedoms. I think that we were meant to be in a continual cycle of new pandemic, lockdowns, masking, vaccine. They wanted that cycle to set in. And it was the dissidents. It was people like you and Jeffrey and the people that you highlight in this book that stood in the gap. And because of that, I think we now have the opportunity to litigate and relitigate what happened then. And that's why it is important that we don't, you know, forget it. But that was my sense of it. And you said that you had a personal, I mean, you've had some, you know, a whole personal journey yourself in coming.
Yeah. I mean, I was so distraught by this whole thing. I'll never forget May 4th, 2020. I called my daughter, you know, she's like in her 20s, but doesn't live with us. And it was early in the morning, 7:30 or 8 in the morning. And I just sobbed. I just sobbed.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It was like, what is this world coming to? I was so completely bewildered and disoriented and alienated. I could not understand that the whole world wanted this. But you know what? I think my perspective is a little bit different from yours. I mean, it's similar in that I guess I don't see it so much as a battle between good and evil, and our side is good. I see it more as a battle between two completely incompatible worldviews. You know, and so I think if you're going to accept the worldview of the lockdowner side, so to speak, the worldview is that sort of biological protection trumps. Kind of see where everything else flowed from. But I think that the people on our side just don't accept that worldview. And as you said, consider it dehumanizing and.
Let me tell you, I mean, I stood on street corners. I saw the level of human suffering, the death and the despair, people calling me, sobbing, loved ones who went into nursing homes. They were completely abandoned, bed sores all over their bodies, sobbing by windows, desperate to see their loved ones. It was evil. It was the worst evil I have ever witnessed in my life. And I witnessed it firsthand multiple because I was protesting these lockdowns from day one. And so people from my own community were calling me, children.
Well, you have a good point. Yeah. No, some of it was, and again, this
I don't see it as a worldview. I
see it as evil.
It's a worldview, but it's an evil worldview. And right. I can understand how people, you know, if you don't come from a faith background or religious background, then it's how you define it is going to look a little bit different from each person. For me, it was like, I was at a 10. I was at a 100 on day one.
Yes. I think for a lot of us, it was kind of visceral and we felt it very keenly. And that's how we found each other. Yeah. And I think that it's difficult to explain that to the other side. Sometimes it's just difficult. And that's what we have to keep trying to do. And I agree with you. You know, we can't forget this because it can and will, you know, happen again. Yeah. I doubted myself for a while. For the first few weeks, I remember, again, because all my friends were on board and we must do this, we have to do this, and anyone who protests is an evil, you know, mouth-breathing Trump-tard and sociopath, you know, all that stuff. I got all those insults online. So I doubted myself, and I actually consulted I called him Dr. Zoom, a therapist on Zoom, to explore my own, you know, self-questioning. And I talk about that in the book too. It's a very personal book. It gets into all this stuff. So you know, I
well, you mentioned you experimented with LSD too. And I this did, is not to yeah, judge. I went in a hole. I went in a depressive state for 6 months. I think I cried every day. I cried every single day. I had three kids. Everybody was home. They're now 16, 14, and 11. But now I had been doing politics for 10 years. So I've seen the manufactured outrage about the border. It's the most important election ever. This crisis, that crisis, Benghazi. I mean, I reported on all of it, right? But this was okay. This is now not just my job anymore. This is civilizational. The veil has been torn, so to speak. There will be before COVID and after COVID, and that will be the way that we look at the world for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I had the same.
Seeking counsel. Tell the LSD story because that's kind of interesting.
I don't feel judged, but I really was. I know it sounds strange to say in retrospect. I was trying so hard to understand the other side, and trying to see what am I missing here. You know, why are all my associates on board with this? So I thought, okay. Maybe if I take LSD, I'm going to be less angry about this. I'm going to have some kind of big blinding insight and I'm going to feel better about all this.
Sure.
And it was funny because, you know, I was 63 when I tried LSD for the first time.
That's wild.
And I had this baggage from my mother. My mother was, you know, old fashioned European from the old country. And she always said, you know, don't take those drugs. You're going to jump out of the balcony. So I had this idea that you take LSD.
Mine too. She scared the crap out of me about drugs. I never did drugs because of my mother. Because she scared me.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So I get it. I can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 63. And what was it like?
I tried weed and all that. Well, you know what? The disappointing truth, it was kind of underwhelming in a way, because I had all these images that you just go crazy, lose contact with reality, you jump out of balconies, but it was fairly subtle for me.
Yeah.
In a good way. I mean, it was subtle, like it was, you know, a bit of shimmer, a bit of sort of woo-woo, but it wasn't this big distortion or amplification or anything. I didn't see God. I didn't have like the blinding insight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that sense, it was a bit disappointing, but it was also nice. It was a positive experience. I remember I went out on my paddleboard. It was in the summer of 2020. And once I determined, you know, my husband was with me, you know, because he's, again, much more cautious. So he wanted to make sure it was okay. So
he's like, honey, you want to do what? What are you
going to do? He had tried it before in his youth, but he was more cautious on my behalf. And at first he said, no, I don't want you going out on the lake. But once we both, you know, about an hour had gone by, we realized I wasn't going to go crazy. And the effect was fairly subtle. I said, okay, go out on the lake. So I went out on my paddleboard and it was just a nice experience. Mm. It felt good. It was positive. But it didn't deliver the insight that I hoped. And maybe that's because ultimately, in my deepest core, I didn't really believe what the other side was selling.
Right.
I wanted to try to understand them. I really did. And that's why I also sought therapy. You know, I asked the therapist, so am I a sociopath? You know, is what all these online people saying true? You
know, it's so interesting to hear your perspective of that inner turmoil and that questioning and that doubt. Because your journey was a little bit different than some of the other, you know, people. Like, you knew instinctively that it was wrong from the beginning, but you really questioned, probably because you came from more of that progressive left leaning.
Yes, which I find and everyone around me.
Yeah, so you were definitely, so that's really interesting because you were, I mean, surrounded. You remind me a little bit of Naomi Wolf. She was one that really, you know, suffered. Tonight we're talking to Gabrielle Bauer. Her book is Blind Sight is 2020. It is the personal stories of dissidents, people who stood up, who knew that there was something wrong. And these are extraordinary people, by the way, not just regular, you know, these are the names that you know, people who were active in different genres of expertise, the medical doctors and the journalists and the philosophers and the psychologists. You talked a little bit about Matthias Desmet. I'd love to hear his story when we come back, because he really was a shaper. He gave us the understanding that, okay, yeah, we have all gone, lost our damn minds. That's what I said, right? Like, everyone's gone crazy. He was the one who popularized the term that was mass formation psychosis. And that was picked up by Dr. Malone. We all remember the interview on Joe Rogan. And that gave the nation and the world finally the sense of, at least for those of us who are awake, okay, we have some now understanding of what is going on. And it indeed is cult-like. It is cult. We come back, we're going to discuss that with Gabrielle Bauer. You can find her on Twitter. Her handle is at Gabrielle J. Bauer. And the book is available on Amazon and a bunch of other places. Before we go to break, I want to give a huge shout out to our friends over at 4Patriot Supply. They are amazing in these times of, I don't know, uncertainty. We never know when the other shoe is going to drop. And even if it's not the government, you never know when there's going to be a natural disaster or something happening in your own community when you need food for the family. And that's what they do. They're preppers and they have amazing prices, amazing food, 30-day supplies, 3-month supplies, and all of the gadgets that you need to be prepared for any type of emergency. Go to 4patriotsupply.com and put in the promo code Shannon, and you'll get 10% off your order. That's 4Patriot Supply, number 4patriotsupply.com, promo code Shannon for 10% off your entire order. They're amazing. They support this show, and we can support them with our dollars. We'll be back in a moment on the Shannon and Joy Show. We are back, everyone, joined tonight by Gabrielle Bauer. She's the author of Blindsight is 2020, rave reviews from our good friend Jeffrey Tucker, and such an interesting look at what happened, how we all went crazy in 2020, and the stories of people who came to understanding, who came to, I think, some sort of enlightenment. They kind of sensed that things were wrong, but all different types of people, all shapes and sizes. The book showcases 46 scientists, ethicists, writers, and other thinkers who reflect on the societal harms of COVID-19 lockdowns and the mandates, the origins of the virus and vaccine side effects, not so much a focus. Really, it is the human experience of the lockdown. And you draw, you're very, very raw in this book, Gabrielle. You draw from your own personal experience and offer the reader a lot. I like this book because I think this is a bridge type of publication that people could give their friends on the left. They can give their friends who might be about to turn over and realize the harms of what was done to us. And those kind of books are very important. They serve a purpose. You chronicled the story of Matthias Desmet, interviewed him for this book. What was his story?
He felt right from the start that the real epidemic was a psychic epidemic.
Tell me about that. A psychic epidemic. What did he mean by that?
Well, I think Carl Jung, you know, the famous psychotherapist, talks about that, how I think I quote him in the book. I don't remember the exact words, but that there is no viral epidemic that is more powerful than a psychic or psychological epidemic. Epidemics of the mind are more powerful and more destructive than any virus we can think of. And Matthias Desmet had that sense, like many of us dissidents, from the start, that what we were witnessing was this, well, he called it mass formation. He didn't call it psychosis. He called it mass formation, and other people tacked on the term psychosis. But basically a term for mob psychology. That's what we were seeing. We were seeing mob psychology all over the world. And I don't think we had ever seen it to that degree. But there's a long, long history of psychic epidemics, you know, the fainting diseases. And I recently saw a podcast about the split personality disorders.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
It's
dissociative.
Dissociative personality disorder goes up for, a few years or generation, then goes down to nothing, and then goes up again and goes down. Because what happens is a few people plant the seeds, and then there's this social contagion that goes on. And when there's, media coverage and with the modern era, with all the social media, these things can really pick up momentum very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Well, really a manufactured mob psychosis, because as we look back and realize that COVID-19, the virus, was never truly that dangerous to most individuals. And we realize the coordinated and sophisticated propaganda that was deployed in the same way on the same mediums in every country across the globe, you realize that what made this unique was that, sure, we have mob. We've had mob rules and cults and, you know, where everyone goes nuts and there's that social contagion. This is really the first time that we saw that it was planned. It was coordinated. It was deployed. And that's just mind blowing to me, right? Like, that's just, you know, crazy. So he was looking at it from that perspective originally.
Yeah. And again, we can come back to the whole plan thing. I mean, I think that he I don't get into anything that could be called conspiratorial. I mean, I think the whole thing, I think the countries, the politicians were also subject to this mob psychology. So dominoes all fell one way and they all did the same thing. You know,
that's never by accident though. I'm a marketer. Yeah. I know a campaign when I see one. I was in marketing for 13 years before I did my show. Right. You know, talking points, copy points, you know, celebrity endorsements. I've seen it all.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure it was planned. And I talk in chapter two about how in the UK they use the nudge units and all that to get people to think and behave in a certain way. Yeah. But I think, yeah, there's this perspective of opinions on, you know, what drove that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is okay,
the mass psychology, the mass formation, the groupthink was off the charts. And I think that Matthias Desmet developed a whole theory about it, about what are the conditions in society that lead people to be vulnerable to this. And he talked about the atomization as a word that he uses, you know, how people are disconnected, really. Our sense of community is fractured and fragile.
Yeah.
And factors like that that make people more vulnerable to
isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isolation. So, and he actually wrote a book about it called The Psychology or the Origins of Totalitarianism. And he talked about how all these factors make people super vulnerable to this groupthink. And then once it takes place, then of course the powers that be harness it.
Yes.
To usher in more authoritarian political regimes, and the whole thing starts to feed on itself. And, you know, in a way, what was disconcerting here is that the people were asking for it. I mean, the politicians and the media were also influencing the people, but it went both ways. The people wanted this. And so
I think they were told to want it. And there were change agents deployed in every community that would like smash people who went up against it. And so people saw the pain and suffering of individuals. They were arrested. They were fined. They were completely eviscerated in local media. And so nobody wanted to be the pariah.
Well, I agree. But I guess maybe that's also because of the so-called more left-leaning circles that I was traveling in. I really genuinely believe that a lot of people wanted it and believed it was necessary. You know, the level of fear
in sort of on the
left, so to speak, was very intense.
Yeah.
Most population. And so I guess I see it as a two-way thing. Yes,
sure. Well, it's like nature versus nurture, right? There's probably both at play. There is the natural human tendency to be afraid and to be a follower. And then there are the plans or the manipulations of people who are in power. And when those two things come together in this very terrible way, you have these social contagions. And so I agree with you. I don't think it's one or the other. I think they both play together. Yeah. Tonight we're talking to Gabrielle Bauer. She's just amazing. Looking at the lockdowns through a cultural perspective, a societal perspective, and chronicling the stories of some of the most prolific thinkers, people who are standing up and speaking out, people like Matthias Desmet in those dark days of 2020. It is available on Amazon, and you can follow Gabrielle at Gabrielle J. Bauer. That's at Gabrielle J. Bauer. Again, this is a good book. This is a good crossover book. There are a lot of different perspectives about what happened. And we are going to be discussing this for decades after we win this battle and we have freedom and there is justice, which I am like a dog with a bone on this one. Like, I am not going to let leaders get away with ignoring what happened. Once we get there, which we will, we are going to have to reflect back. We are going to have to look at the atrocities and figure out ways to make sure that this doesn't happen again in our lifetime. That's going to be a process. And this is one of those books that is going to begin that progress or that process. So it's very good. Blindsight is 2020 by Gabrielle Bauer. We'll be back in a moment to close out the Shannon Joy Show. We are back. It is the final segment of the show and the week right here on the Shannon Joy Show. The segment is sponsored by Vanish. This is the most amazing holster, and the name says it all. It vanishes. It is the most comfortable holster for your gun-toting loved ones. Ladies, Father's Day is coming up, and I know if your husband has his concealed carry pistol permit in any of the various states, he is going to love this holster. I just got mine in the mail, and I don't have my... I have my concealed carry pistol permit, but I don't have my gun yet, but I do have my holster and I tried it on. It's unbelievable. It disappears right underneath the shirt. And that's something that's important to me because I'm a girl and I care about, you know, the way that my shirt fits, and you don't want to see something like bulky sitting underneath. And it's an amazing holster. And I would recommend it to all of you. It is the most comfortable. They make it out of a yoga stretchy material. I don't know how they do it, like super, super tight Velcro in like multiple places. It's just awesome. You can go to vanish.com. That's VNSH.com/joy. That's VNSH.com/joy. And you'll get $50 off your Vanish holster. Again, ladies, Father's Day is just around the corner and he's going to love it. So make sure you go there and you put in, or you do use the slash joy so they know that we sent you, and you can get that $50 off. All right, let's finish up the program with our new friend, Gabrielle Bauer. She wrote the book, Blindsight is 2020, and it is published by Brownstone Institute, available everywhere. Gabrielle, how did you get hooked up with Jeffrey and the Brownstone Institute in the publication of this book? It's such a great organization. And how did you guys make that collaboration?
Before writing the book, I started writing COVID essays for various outlets, okay. Some mainstream outlets, some more niche outlets. I would say equally split between US, UK, and Canadian outlets. Mm. When you're sort of in that space, online, and I was in this Reddit group called Lockdown Skepticism, you just find out about these new organizations. So somewhere along the way, I found out about Brownstone and of course was very intrigued. And I think it was in early 2022 when I submitted my first essay to Jeffrey, to Brownstone. I think it was, because I've written many for him since, it was called The Compliance Conundrum. You know, it was why... what makes some people more compliant and what makes some people less compliant?
Mm. I've always wondered about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed, I have to say, in my own gender, in women being generally more compliant with this stuff than men, statistically. Obviously, there's lots of exceptions like you and me and many, many others. But there were studies done that women tended to be more compliant. So I explore the reasons why. You know, I think that there's this whole psychology that we women are raised with. We have to be nice, be good, you know, and sort of complying with all the measures became conflated with being good people, so-called. I think women were just more inclined to do that. And so I talked about that in the article, and you know, he liked it, and that led to more. And, you know, at one point he told me that I was, you know, a very popular writer, that people liked my stuff, which was nice to hear. And so I mentioned earlier in this interview that somewhere along the way, I had this idea that I wanted to write a book about it. It just kind of evolved organically. I had pages and pages of notes and links and everything. So I pitched the idea to Jeffrey. And I'd written books before for other publishers, but, you know, I'd never worked with a nonprofit institute before. And, you know, Jeffrey just said yes.
Wow.
And I was kind of amazed because I thought, well, wait a minute, don't you want to see, I don't know, three sample chapters or this or that or the other? And he just said, you know, I trust your writing. I like your writing.
Yeah.
And that's
mentioned. He's mentioned that there, I think, what did he say? Luxurious prose is how he defines some of your writing that is pleasing to the reader. It is a different kind of writing. It is, it captures you. And the flow of the book is different. And I think that's important. I think in the age of AI and, you know, all of this kind of, I don't know, like things just don't seem real or authentic or organic. I think real, right. And, you know, I love Jeffrey's writing. He is regularly featured at Epoch Times. He's an economist by trade and has a very, very unique way of explaining complex economic themes in a way that regular people understand. And he takes that from, you know, he really writes from the perspective of the little guy, the blue collar worker, the small family. And it's just, you know, very brilliant. So I'm not surprised that, you know, when he's not a writer, that in, and the book has been doing phenomenal. He has been, I mean, very impressed with the sales and how many people are just really relating to it. So congratulations, Gabrielle. Well,
thank you. You know, it was so nice to have that level of trust. And for a while I was working on the book, I didn't even believe it. I said, well, can we, I don't know, can't we just, let's sign a contract. Let's do this. Let's do that. He says, no, it's going to happen. Don't worry. And so I was a little nervous for a while because it was so different from the way that other publishers have worked with me.
Sure.
So I almost wasn't sure whether to trust the process, but I also am in my own dealings with my clients. I'm kind of the same way. Mm. I never ask for things signed in triplicate. You know, I work with people I trust and I prefer it. So on the one hand, I really liked that. I really admired that about his way of working, but it also made me nervous because, you know, I hadn't experienced it before. So I thought, is this really going to happen?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's fantastic. And he gave you complete editorial control.
No, I know. It's incredible. Like, as I say, I'd never experienced that. And, and he told me he gets a lot of requests for books. People pitch ideas to him, you know, not surprising because the Brownstone has such an amazingly large footprint after
only
a couple of years of existence.
Yeah.
So, but he says he says no to almost all of them. So it's not like he just says yes to everything, but I think once he says yes, then he's going to trust the people that he works with.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is amazing. I mean, it's amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah. He is a curator of brilliant people. That's what he does. He just collects.
As well as being a brilliant person himself.
And being a brilliant person himself.
And the Energizer Bunny. My God, the guy never stops. I don't know how he does it. Very fertile mind.
The book is Blindsight is 2020, and the author is Gabrielle Bauer, and she is affiliated with Brownstone Institute. They are publishing the book. I want you guys to go and get it on Amazon. Again, this is the book that you want to purchase for your friend who might be a little left-leaning, or maybe they're right here on being red-pilled about what went down in 2020. And it is not an aggressive in your face, you were wrong, we were right, you know, la, 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 la. No, this is an exploration of people and how they came to the idea that there's something very wrong. And all different examples, again, writers, medical doctors, scientists, psychologists, she details all of it. The book,
That's a very important point that I just wanted to get in, that a lot of books focus on what the scientists said, what the politicians said. But when it comes to a pandemic, it's not just a scientific problem to solve. It's human experience to get through. And so this idea of following the science never made any sense because there's all these other perspectives. There's a mental health perspective, the social, there's, you know, depriving people of earning a living. All these perspectives need to be at the table. And many of the people that I interview say the same thing, including some of the big scientists. Mm. They say the pandemic was managed too much by scientists.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to have all these perspectives. And that's why I feature some well-known people and some less well-known. I feature even a comedian.
Unbelievable. I love it. I love
writers.
It.
Okay. Like, because all these people have very important insights. And sometimes the most important insights come from outside of science because, you know, the scientists just have one goal, which is, okay, let's deal with this virus. And so they're not necessarily thinking holistically.
Oh, absolutely. We need to be proficient in all of it. The arts, the humanities, the sciences, right? And I think because we've become so narrowly, we're all so narrowly trained that we can't see like the whole picture because we're so focused in our one silo. And, you know, that's on purpose, I think. So Gabrielle Bauer is the author. The book is Blindsight is 2020. Go pick it up on Amazon today. Thank you so much, Gabrielle. And thank you all for being with us this week on the Shannon Joy Show. We are so thankful for our supporters, our advertisers. If you're in the market for any of their products or services, remember, we couldn't do this without our sponsors and our advertisers. I want to give a quick shout out to The Wellness Company, an amazing new collaboration with this amazing company. Dr. Peter McCullough is the chief scientific officer over there, and they have just so many services, so many resources, products for people who are just not trusting the healthcare system. They don't trust their pediatrician. They don't trust their doctor. They do not want to be in the hospital in any way, shape, or form, because that's all crumbling. And you can go and get services. You can have consultations with medical doctors. You can have prescriptions filled. If you have a vaccine mandate in your state and you need to get a medical exemption, they do those as well. The consultations, also a great line of products that dissolve spike proteins. So if you're still struggling with long COVID, if you think that you've been vaccine injured from the COVID shots or the boosters, this is where you want to go. GetWellWithShannonJoy.com. It's GetWellWithShannonJoy.com. When you put in the promo code JOY, you get 10% off everything. And so we love these guys. Go check them out. Make sure you let them know that we sent you. And thank you so much for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back tomorrow to do it, or not tomorrow. On Monday, that's Memorial Day, Tuesday. We'll be back next Tuesday to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, if you are anything like me, you live your life on your phone, working, banking, shopping, connecting with friends and family, but in the digital shadows are rogue apps watching your every move, collecting that data. And in the silence are spies listening to your private conversations. Feeling paranoid? Well, me too. And you're not alone. With Kinecta Mobile, peace of mind is one tap away. Leveraging military-grade encryption, Kinecta shields your data, ensuring your conversations and information stay private. Build a fortress around your digital life starting at just $35 a month. You'll get an encrypted device, data and conversations, no data tracking, and a free secure phone with trade-in. Do not compromise on privacy. Take control with Kinecta. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Now is the time for peace of mind, and you can get it with Kinecta.